welcome everybody to Jawanda for Life, also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine. It's a pleasure, my pleasure. Oh man, I'm sitting up here with a grin on my face from ear to ear. I am so happy to be able to bring to you a very, very powerful individual, a very passionate individual, somebody that you are going to be blessed for taking time out of your day to tune in to listen to this show. Let me tell you a little bit about my guest. If you're just tuning in for the very first time, I know I've told a lot of people about the show today, and I know that there are a lot of first-time listeners to this show, and I want to say welcome to. I see the phone lines are lit, so thank you so much for taking time out. Again, welcome to Jawanda for Life. If you're just hearing about Dr. Ruby for the first time, she's got a very powerful, powerful testimony in terms of how she got started on the holistic health path. But let me tell you a little bit about her. You should want to know who you're listening to and why you're listening to this individual. So let me share with you some information that will help to solidify her in your mind as someone who knows what she's talking about. She's an expert in her field. Dr. Lathan is a certified holistic health nutritionist and advocate for plant-based nutrition. Dr. Lathan holds, or shall I say, inspires with a powerful story of recovering from thyroid cancer through alternative treatment focused on a whole foods plant-based diet. Dr. Ruby worked as a researcher and an award-winning engineer and now teaches others how to re-engineer their health and live disease-free. She's a graduate of the University of Alabama and served as nutrition policy manager at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she developed and led a national grassroots campaign to advocate legislation for more healthful plant-based meal options in the National School Lunch Program. Dr. Lathan is host of the Veggie Chest, which is a plant-based cooking show, and through her organization, Roadmap to Holistic Health, Dr. Lathan hosts a number of health conferences, workshops, and vegan cooking classes, and provides customized nutritional consultations. So now you know why you're listening to Dr. Lathan, okay? And this is just the beginning. Wait till you hear her testimony. Dr. Lathan, welcome back to Jawanda for Life. It's always a pleasure to have an opportunity to speak with you. I know that my listeners are in for a treat today, and again, I know you're just a busy, busy, busy person, you know, always sharing the news, the good news about holistic health, and, you know, I'm just thankful that you can make time for us. Thank you so much for being my guest.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Glad to be back.
My pleasure. Again, let me just state the ground rules for the listeners. If you have a question, all you have to do is just press 1. If you just like to make a comment or talk to Dr. Lathan during the course of the show, all you have to do is just press 1. If you're listening online, the call-in number is 347-324-5727. Again, that's 347-324-5727. Today, we're going to be talking about, as a foundation, the show is going to be on multiple myeloma, okay, and how you can treat it naturally. But if you have a question about anything, I mean, if you might not, that might not be your issue. You might be dealing with Alzheimer's or diabetes or whatever, the arthritis. If you have a question, don't feel shy. Don't feel limited. Just press 1 and ask your question, okay? So, Dr. Lathan, again, great to have you back again. I'm always sharing you with people that I come in contact with who have whatever condition they may have. I'm often sharing your shows with people, and, you know, again, I've told a lot of people about you who are hearing you for the first time today. Would you be so kind as to share your testimony as to how you got started on the holistic health path? Because, you know, people are always interested in, well, what makes this person the expert, especially when it comes to issues pertaining to life and death. So could you please share, if you would, what got you started on this path?
Sure. As some know, I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer more than 10 years ago now. I have to keep updating the story as the years go by. And it's, you know, when I was diagnosed, I was shocked and really decided that I wanted to look at natural treatment for it. because I just had a belief and gut feeling that, you know, the body can heal itself, and that I just needed to figure out how to make that work. And so I always thought that, you know, if I got some deadly disease, I would definitely look at natural treatment for it. And, you know, there you go. I came down with that or was diagnosed with it. And so I started looking for alternatives to the surgery and medication. And I learned about plant-based diets in my research. And I learned about supplementation and how the immune system works, how it fights cancer. And that the answer to healing and preventing cancer wasn't as complicated as I thought it might be. I can't say it was easy, but it wasn't complicated in that the average person can't understand how to do it. So when I found out about, you know, ways that the immune system is the key to all of this and building up the immune system so that it can fight the cancer, I started eating foods that help do that, and started taking supplements that help do that, and then I started removing things that block that, like stress and sugar and chronic dislike for my job. I removed all those things that were barriers to healing and got busy healing and meditating and praying and all of that, and was able to reverse the cancer with just those things, with diet and lifestyle changes. And so from that, you know, I decided I wanted to change my career, which was in defense, which I never really liked to begin with, and really going to the other opposite of the spectrum to healing as opposed to optimizing systems that kill. So now I optimize how people can get well and find a shorter path to getting well so they're not starting from square one.
That is really a powerful testimony. I mean, you don't hear about it every day. I mean, the circles that we run in, I mean, we're in holistic health circles. You know, I host holistic health, so we put on holistic health symposiums, workshops, and consultations. I mean, you know, hearing of cancer being healed is not something that's that blows your mind anymore, I'm sure. You know, I hear it, you know, and have heard it for years and have met people who have done it, yourself included, in that. But for a lot of people who might not be running in those circles, this information could be viewed with skepticism, like, yeah, right, you know, you cured cancer, really? Come on, really? You know, you think you're fooling or whatever. But again, when you run in circles, in holistic health circles, this is not something that's uncommon. It's actually, people do it, actually it's kind of, I don't want to say use the word frequent, maybe frequent could be used in this.
Right. I mean, it's happening more and more. I'm not the only one who has reversed their cancer naturally or has switched to a plant-based diet either during their recovery in order to stay well, because, you know, the instances of cancer recurrence are really, really high. And so a lot of people kind of get the wake-up call and say, maybe I should do something different so I can stay alive longer than 5 years, which is the measurement that, you know, they look at to say, you know, whether the treatment was a success or not. So, you know, a lot of people are doing it. That's why I did it, because I read about stories of other people who had healed themselves with food and natural methods. So I wasn't the first, and I certainly won't be the last, and I'm happy to you know, sound the alarm, which is what I felt like I needed to do, because while I did find this information, it wasn't front and center. I did have to dig for it and dig a little deep to find this information about healing the body naturally. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't page one. So I felt like, wow, I need to tell everybody needs to know this, that most of the diseases that we're living with are caused by our food and our lifestyle, and we have control over that. So let's stop dying and get busy living. So that was when I found out. I was like, wow, I can't believe that I don't know this. And I can't believe how many other people are going through drastic measures to prevent things or to try to heal things, when the number one thing that we can do is right in our refrigerator and at the grocery store.
You know, Dr. Latham, I'm hearing a little echo.
Okay.
On the.
Let's see. Okay.
Okay, there we got it. Much better. Could we talk for a moment, just even before we get into the crux of the discussion on multiple myeloma, just about the difference between remission and being actually having it reversed? I mean, there are a lot of times when people go to the doctor, and I guess remission is good news. I mean, it's better to be in remission than to be not in remission. But in your particular case, when you're using the term reversed, you don't mean remission, correct? You mean that the cancer is actually gone.
Well, yeah, and I would say remission is a tentative way of saying it's gone, because the way that traditional medicine works and the trends that they see when they help you get rid of cancer, they call it remission because most of the time it comes back. So they're not going to put themselves out there and say it's cured, because they know the likelihood is that in a few years you're going to either get the same cancer or some other type. So it's kind of hedging your bets when you say remission. But it really means the same thing. When they're saying remission, in most cases they're saying it's undetectable. But they're not going to call it a cure. They're just going to call it remission because it's not detectable at this point, or it's at such a low level, there's nothing else to be done in terms of traditional Western medicine. There's nothing else to do. So, you know, some people might have used that term with me, but I was like, I'm not going to say remission because I'm not giving this a chance to come back, because I have learned that I have control over that too. So when you're going through traditional treatment, they're going to do whatever it is they do, whether it's chemo, radiation, surgery, or all three, and that's it. And they're going to tell you to go home, eat what you want, have fun, drink what you want, do whatever. So the likelihood that you will get cancer again is high. But if you get rid of the cancer by whatever means you get rid of it, and then you change your lifestyle such that you have a working immune system that you're boosting daily, you're taking the things out of your diet and lifestyle that will suppress the immune system, which will allow the cancer to come back, then you can call it a cure. You can call it what you want. So I was like, look, I'm cured, because I'm not going back to any unhealthy lifestyle. I'm not going to go back to eating junk food. I'm not going to go back to eating dairy and meat products. I am done with that. So based on my research, I shouldn't have any problem. And if I did, I know what to do to ramp this up to get rid of it. So I felt comfortable calling it a cure, healing, whatever you want, because I feel like I know how the body works now, and I have majority control over what's going to happen.
And, you know, what's interesting is the lifespan that they give people when contracting a particular type of disease, whatever the disease might be. In this particular case, I believe it's 5 years, a lifespan, and anything beyond that is considered a success. I would always wonder, how do they come up with this number of 5 years, or whatever the number of years it is that they give, to say, okay, the likelihood of a person surviving this long, anything beyond this benchmark is considered a success? And I'm thinking, well, what? You've given medicine so long and so often that you know that it takes about 5 years for this person's liver to break down, or, you know, it's 5 years before this person's kidney fails or something. And in your particular case, I mean, you said, like, it was over 10 years ago, so we're not talking about somebody who is just looking at living 5 years beyond, or 5 years or 1 year past their benchmark and saying, oh, you know, I'm a success story. I mean, we're talking about somebody that's been over a decade ago, okay? And I guess subsequent tests have also confirmed that the cancer is gone, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I don't generally have multiple biopsies or things like that, but I have had it rechecked over the years.
Wow. Well, everybody, now you know why you're listening to Dr. Lathan. I mean, she's got a personal testimony of actually overcoming thyroid cancer after the doctors wanted to remove the thyroid cancer. And so now you know why you're listening to her. So now we're going to get into talking about can multiple myeloma be treated naturally? For starters, Doc, there are people out here that when we go to the doctors and the doctors say, you have this. We hear the words, but we don't really know what that means, you know. All we know is that, okay, the doctor says, I have this, and that this is what the doctor wants to do to treat it. But so we can get an education and give the listeners an education on when they're hearing the term multiple myeloma, what is that? When a doctor says to a patient, I've diagnosed you with multiple myeloma, what exactly is he saying is going on in the body?
Right. So basically, it is multiple tumors that are started by malignant plasma cells or cells that are in the bones. So, you know, cancer can show up anywhere. So this is a type of cancer that affects the plasma cells, and those types of cells basically are lymphocytes, and those are the cells that do some of the protecting in the immune system. You know, you might have heard of T cells and things like that that are like fighter cells that help protect the body against cancer and AIDS and things like that. A lot of times when people have a compromised immune system, the T cells are low. So then they're more open to infection and things like that, as well as the B cells. Those are things that increase when we have something going on that needs to be fought against. So it's like the troops that are called on when there's an invasion. So T cells and the B cells would be like that. So when there is something going on, you're going to have more production of those so they can handle whatever is happening. So those cells can become cancerous, and then they start growing faster and more out of basically when you have cancer of any types, it's cells that are, I'd say, going rogue that start growing outside of the pattern of what they're supposed to do. So normally if your body's supposed to produce X amount of these cells daily, with cancer it might produce 10 times as many as it should. And so then that overgrowth then becomes sometimes a tumor. And that's what happens with myeloma, is that or the cytosis, or they call it when it's a single tumor that's formed, it starts out as a single tumor. They call that the plasmacytoma. So they call it plasmacytoma. So that one tumor has been formed because of this out of control growth of these B and C cells, T cells. So that would be they found a single tumor. When there's more than one, then they call it multiple myeloma. When there's more than one plasma cell tumor, that's when it's called the multiple myeloma. So it's when these cells grow out of control and form this tumor because they're just going rogue, and then sometimes there's just one, and then in most cases there is multiple, and then that's when it's called multiple myeloma. So there's more than one that's happened. Which is likely because the cells are, you know, growing out of control. So it's just a form of cancer that affects those cells and causes that type of a tumor.
You know, when I was researching the topic for the show today, I read that what happens as well is that these rogue cells or these tumors actually crowd out the healthy cells. So, but it didn't say what happened to the healthy cells. It just said they crowded them out. I mean, these healthy cells die? What happens to the healthy cells that are just crowded out? I mean, it's just like they just come bogarting their way into this space and just take over the space. But what happens to the ones, the healthy cells? They just perish?
This is a good idea. Probably a question for a biologist. I'm not really sure whether it crowds it out and the cells die, or they just don't operate properly because they're crowded, or they can't get to where they're supposed to do in a timely fashion because, you know, the normal channels of travel are blocked. I mean, it could be a number of things, whether it's being crowded in and so they're not getting to where they're supposed to go, or crowded so that they die off, or they just stop producing because they can't, there's nowhere for it to go. There's a couple of scenarios there that I'm not really sure which one that is. But I have also read that the crowding causes the low blood counts and things. They're just not able to get to where they're supposed to go. I mean, you would think of, when you think of crowding in a crowd and something is trying to get through the middle, then, you know, it can get stuck, blocked. Whatever it is not going where it's supposed to go, and that's what's happening there. And sometimes when that condition, you know, the body will do different things. It might stop, slow down in the production of the normal cells because it knows there's nowhere for it to go. Sometimes that happens in different scenarios.
So what's the problem then with chemo and radiation? I mean, this is a question that people need to know the answer to, because oftentimes these are some of the treatments that are prescribed for people that have any form of cancer. Chemo and radiation is very common. I've been told that the chemo and or the radiation actually, in addition to killing the bad cells, actually kill the healthy ones too. Is that correct?
Right, right. Chemo is like, it's like burning the forest. It's going to burn everything down, good and bad, in hopes that the good stuff will grow back because everything got killed. And so then, just like when you burn a forest, and then you wait for the new things to grow in, but you killed everything, the good and the bad. So that's what chemo does. And just like in a forest, some things don't survive that. Some people don't survive that. Or not all the organs and cells survive that. So while a person may survive it, some things may be damaged. You know, lymph nodes get damaged that never regenerate. They get killed in radiation and chemo oftentimes. And then you develop some other condition and edema and a lot of other things that can happen because in the process of burning it all down, some things get damaged permanently. And then, like I said, some people just, that overtakes them. Their immune system doesn't survive and they die. And then other people, fortunately, are able to survive it and regenerate and come back, you know. And they usually need help with that, though. They usually, the best way to do that is to be putting things in the body during and after that are going to help regenerate the immune system, because the goal was never to kill the immune system. It's just a casualty of the war. So the faster you can get it back operating, the greater your chances are for survival and getting back to normal and keeping new cancers away.
Well, let's talk about risk factors for a moment, because I would assume that with any treatment that, you know, you should start with, well, what puts me at risk for contracting this situation in the first place? If I can deal with whatever the risk factors are, and at the same time, maybe simultaneously, deal with, you know, working with and, you know, restoring the cells on a cellular level, then it seems like, you know, that would be the way to go. Could you talk about what risk factors may be involved in a condition such as multiple myeloma?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because there aren't that many specific risk factors, because we haven't really figured out exactly what causes this particular type of cancer. So, but they, you know, they have listed some risk factors that, to me, that makes sense. I mean, they always have risk factors and they say, oh, the greatest risk factor is age. I mean, to me, that's not a risk factor because we're all going to get older. So in that case, everybody over 45 has a great risk of, you know, this. So they do say, you know, age and gender and things like that. But to me, things you cannot control, like your gender and your age, don't really need to be considered unless you're doing a diagnosis. The doctor needs to consider that. But what we need to be concerned with are the real risk factors that we don't have, that we either may or may not have control over. So environmental things are some of the greatest risk factors, dealing with chemicals. If you work in an industry like construction that uses certain kind of chemicals, or if you're in agriculture and you're exposed to pesticides regularly, cosmetologists who are exposed to those strong chemicals on a daily basis, you know, barbers, all of that, who are dealing with different types of chemicals that are harmful or known to be harmful in manufacturing facilities, where you might be breathing in chemicals, cleaning chemicals. If you are in, you know, the cleaning industry, it's not the word I was looking for, but in that industry where you're using a lot of harsh chemicals for cleaning and different things, industrial chemicals, then you are at a greater risk for this type of cancer. And so if you know that, you know, if you work in that, those industries, then that's going to be something of concern. I mean, and that's actually, you know, a risk factor for any type of cancer, but specifically for this one, you know, working in a lot of, manufacturing industries where you're doing plastics and metals and metalwork and that kind of thing, anytime you're taking that in, that has the propensity, you know, to damage lungs, damage the blood cells and things like that. So those would be the main risk factors. I don't consider aging a risk factor.
I'm with you on that, because like you said, if that was the case, then everybody,
Right, and the reason they're saying it's a risk factor is because it's usually diagnosed in people older than 45 or 50. And that's generally because it takes that while before the body can't handle it or shield you from what's going on for so long. So that's why you generally find more cancers in older people, not because something happens when you get old, but because your body will compensate for as long as it can, and the clock tends to run out at some point, and it just happens to be at, you know, the 30, 40, 50-year mark.
Yeah, I never saw it from when I was studying. I never saw it in children. It was just like, this didn't happen in children. It was just, you know, once you hit that 40, you know, that's when it really started to really
right,
kick in.
Right, because it's these chemicals have a cumulative effect, and that's another thing to consider, why a lot of cancers happen when you're older. Again, it's not because, oh, something weird happens when you hit 50. No, it's because you have built up so much toxins at this point in your life, now it overrides the body's ability to keep it in check. That's what happens. And so therefore, they say, oh, age is a risk factor. But, you know, technically it's not, but I get the point. So, yeah, you're not going to generally find this kind of illness in children because it just it has a cumulative effect of breathing these toxins in and day out for multiple years.
I noticed also that even when it came to gender, that it was pretty balanced. It wasn't that the men, I mean, it was a little higher in men than women, the occurrences of multiple myeloma, but it wasn't a drastic jump. I mean, it was like, you know, maybe, you know, like 50-something and 40-something with women, you know, percent. So I just thought that was interesting, that it was pretty balanced out in terms of the gender. Any thoughts on why on that?
No, basically on my part, it'd probably be speculation that men tend to work in more often in those industries that would expose you to pesticides and herbicides and metals and petroleum and plastics. They tend to be the ones who are working more in the factory type jobs, so they would have greater exposure. Whereas you have more women working in cosmetology and hair industry, so that could provide some of that balance.
Well, let's talk for a moment just even about remedies, holistic remedies, and the role even that diet, I mean, you talked about environmental factors, but the role that diet might play in causing some of these cells to go rogue, to go on their own, or even how the role that diet could play in reversing that, or getting the cells back to normal, or killing damaged cells or the rogue cells, and getting the body back in back working in concert with holistically.
Right. There's a lot you can do. So really what you're going to want to do is, you know, pay special attention to the immune system, because that's what is weakened when you're not getting adequate production. Usually in most cases, as we were talking about that crowding, usually what the body does is slow down production of things. And so in that case, it's not going to, if you have lots of abnormal cells, then you don't have the T cells and the B cells that are going to fight infection, so then you're going to be more prone to other things. So we really want to build up the immune system, and there are certain herbs that help with that, like astragalus is one that helps fight infections and help some of the immune system. And there are going to be some key things like typically that are kind of common across most cancers, curcumin or turmeric with bioprene or black pepper is one that's often used and suggested. So that's something that you could use as in a preventative state, mm-hmm. to keep your immune system working well and as part of the healing process. So if you have myeloma, there's a couple of things you want to be cognizant of. You'd want to use things like the turmeric or curcumin, which is the same thing. Curcumin is just turmeric with the bioprene or black pepper added. So curcumin is one to help build the immune system up. And then you want to take things that are going to kind of basically support your immune system until it's back on track. So things that are going to kill the bacteria and things like that are going to be, you know, what you really, you know, want to focus on. And so those are things like I mentioned, the astragalus, which helps regenerate or support some of those cells, that white blood cells that are low when you have myeloma. So that's one that can easily be taken in a supplement form. And some of these you can find in like a B complex, that you would have several B vitamins at once. It's just usually the best way to take a B vitamin is in a B complex and make sure it's a whole food multivitamin. So turmeric is a pretty common cancer fighter. So that would be something that you could take both as a preventative and as a, to help your immune system while you're dealing with if you have myeloma. Let's see, there are many others. Some of the things that I, often recommend are just to use regularly are things like ginger and cayenne, cinnamon, to all that just become part of your usual routine that help boost the immune system. One simple thing is things like aloe vera. From the preventative side, that's aloe vera juice, you know, a whole leaf aloe vera juice can be very healing for the body. So you can, you know, make a concoction of your, you know, turmeric, aloe vera, things like that. Garlic, of course, is one of those that helps boost the immune system and supports the immune system. So those are going to be definitely some things you can looking at some simple herbal things. From a dietary standpoint, you're really going to want to eat a very alkaline diet that has lots of greens, lots of raw, lots of probiotic and prebiotic foods. So like asparagus helps lay the groundwork so that you create your own probiotics. So that's something you want to eat a lot of. And you want to eat things that have probiotics in it, like sauerkraut. I usually recommend that because you can put it on salads and in things and sandwiches and not really notice it. You buy it in the store. It's not made with white vinegar. It's naturally fermented sauerkraut. Miso has probiotics. Yogurt, but only non-dairy yogurt and low to no sugar yogurt, has the probiotics that your body needs to fight. Because most of infections and disease starts in the gut. And in order for the gut to be healthy, you have to have a good balance of bacteria. In order to have a good balance of bacteria, you have to have either consume it or take it as supplements. And so the things that are going to kill the balance is going to be sugar, especially white processed sugar. It's going to really mess up that balance and cause an overgrowth of the bad stuff. So taking out white sugar, taking out dairy, taking out milk, cheese, taking those things out, obviously meat, taking that out and replacing that with beans, nuts, seeds, fermented foods, raw foods, lots of smoothies, lots of nourishing fruit of all kinds. That's going to basically lay the groundwork for a healthy digestive system, making sure you're going regularly, you know, multiple times a day. And that's going to give you the probiotic balance. And you can also take probiotics. If you're dealing with myeloma, you should be taking some probiotics to give your system that boost that it needs because you're not producing everything that you need. So you need to be taking a regular probiotic to really help with that. So there's a number of things there, but those would be the start with the foundational things.
You know, you mentioned taking out the dairy and the meat. I just heard somebody say, what's wrong with meat? You know, for those who need to know the answer to that question, Doc, what's wrong with meat? So somebody needs to hear that.
Well, what's wrong with meat is
right.
Like what's right with it. So meat has a lot of stuff that we don't need and a few of the things that we do need. You know, the primary calling card of meat is protein. Everybody knows meat has protein, thanks to the meat industry. Meat has protein, yay, yes it does. However, so does every fruit and vegetable. Every food, naturally occurring food, has protein also. So you can get protein without meat, without a problem. There are a few nutrients that are easier to get from meat, like iron in some most cases and a few others, but those can also be easily gotten from food sources, especially when you're eating a balanced diet. So that's what's right with meat, the few things. What's wrong with meat is that what it comes with. It comes with a lot of dead flesh that you don't need. The protein is not from the flesh. It's from the amino acids that are found in the flesh that the animals ate when they ate some kind of plant or ate an animal that ate a plant. So you're getting recycled protein, but you get that dead flesh that now your body has to do something with and digest. And oftentimes that it causes a problem and cause your digestive system to be clogged with that and putrefy and cause issues. It comes with lots of toxins. It comes with hormones. It comes with saturated fat and cholesterol. You only find cholesterol in animal products, and almost no plant products have saturated fat other than like coconut oil. So, or coconut in general. So you're going to get a lot of things that we don't need that we're all told to reduce. And those things, studies have shown that that meat products and meat itself lend to cancer and to cancer growth. And so because it's really not what our body wants as its form of primary nutrition. And so we have a lot of things to break down. We have a lot of hormones, estrogens that cause cancers to grow, other things that trigger cancer growth. So, and then when it's processed, processed meat and dairy also becomes more of a carcinogen as well. So it's well documented that there is a strong link between meat consumption and cancer and meat consumption and a lot of other illnesses from diabetes and things that we're dealing with. So science is there. You can look it up, read the cancer, the China study, read How Not to Die by Michael Greger, read all those books, watch Forks Over Knives, watch What the Health, and you will see what's really wrong with meat. And then the way that it's processed these days is incredibly unhealthy, and the conditions in which the animals are raised. I would say a large number of those farm animals have cancer themselves because of how badly they're raised, and they're given unnatural food. So then you're eating a sick animal and expecting not to get sick. You're going to get what the animal got. that's so people are generally not eating, you know, all the range-free, grass-fed, and even those animals still cause cancers and things as well. But the ones that are found at most fast food restaurants and most places most chain restaurants, most grocery stores, most fast food places are using the worst of the worst, the farm factory raised animals that are raised in the most inhumane, horrific, terrifying conditions you can ever imagine. And then that's what you're going to get at your typical fast food or typical chain restaurant or standard grocery store. And that's what's killing us, because the meat is so contaminated, they just dip some of the chickens in straight ammonia to kill all the feces and things off of it. And then you're getting all of that, and you're getting ammonia, and you're getting chemicals, and you're getting saline that they're pumping it up with. And it's just, it's a recipe for disaster. It's amazing that we're still living, eating the food that we're eating. It's just a testament to the incredible majesty of the human body that it's holding it together with the garbage that we're giving it. So that's the problem with meat. And then the dairy products, you know, we're not meant to eat, drink milk from a cow, just as we're not, you know, meant to drink milk from a cat. I mean, it's just as ridiculous. So it causes problems when we take another species milk that is meant for the baby, not even adult cows. Adult cows eat grass, not milk. So it causes lots of inflammation in our body, mucus, because the body is like, this is a foreign substance. So when you have a foreign substance, the body handles it a couple of ways. It tries to either get it out of your system, like via diarrhea or something like that. But if you've been eating it every day for your whole life, diarrhea doesn't work anymore. So it just starts building up fluid. So when you put toxins in your body tries to dilute it, so it holds on to fluid and other things to dilute it so it doesn't kill you. So this is why you have this overproduction of mucus, and this is why you have inflammation. And then when you have this inflammation, you basically aren't digesting food properly or getting the nutrients you need, and that's how it develops other illnesses. So usually when people drop the dairy, the mucus goes away, the inflammation goes away, because now the toxins are out and it can release that excess fluid it was holding on to keep you alive. And that's why people feel bloated and look bloated, and then when they go on a plant-based diet, that bloatedness goes away because your body can release now. It releases, you go to the bathroom regularly, it releases that way, and it releases all these toxins. So the other thing is there are no antioxidants at all whatsoever, zero, or fiber in animal products, meat, milk, dairy, zero. Antioxidants are the things that rebuild the cells and deal with free radicals that cause cancer. So if you're eating a meat-based diet, you're getting zero of that. And if you're eating mainly, you know, meat, potatoes, bread, and cheese, which is pretty much what we're eating in different forms, you know, chicken sandwiches, burgers, you know, cheese, pizza, everything's got some form of this in there, then you're not getting any of the healing stuff. So you're setting your body up for disease because you're not giving it what it needs. This is why when you're dealing with cancer, the last thing you want to be eating is meat, because you are tearing down the body, you're introducing toxins, and you're giving your body more work to do. When you're switching to plant-based, you're giving your body a continuous flow of antioxidants, continuous flow of fiber that takes the toxins out of the body. The antioxidants rebuild the cells, regenerate the cells, and that's why people look younger, feel younger, have more energy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's simple, straight science is why it works.
Wow. Everybody, didn't Dr. Lason make you just want to go have a salad? You know, he's like, we want to go just create a great big healthy salad, you know, and get some fresh nutrients in the body. Thank you for that. Somebody needed to hear that. Doc, what about the microwave? Before, I know we got a few minutes left. A lot of people might say, okay, well, I've stopped eating meat, but there might be people that are still wrestling with the microwave. I would assume that somebody, especially somebody dealing with cancer, multiple myeloma or any form of cancer or any other condition, that the microwave is not your friend. It can really be considered your enemy. Could you talk about the dangers of the microwave?
Yeah, with the microwave, you want to stop using it. I could stop there, but I will explain more. So the microwave heats up your food at over 400 degrees. Now, boiling point is at about, what, 212, just over 200. And when you even get to boiling point, you're starting to kill a lot of the nutrients in your food. And when you get to steaming, you're, you know, even at higher rate, around 242 degrees, I think. And then, you know, and steaming, like, kills everything. It kills all the bacteria, which is why they use it in hospitals to steam the equipment and things like that. So the microwave, you know, takes that, doubles that to over 400 degrees. And so the molecules hit together so fast, so unnaturally, it changes animal products to something that was just bad for you to now something that is a carcinogen, so especially meat products. So now it went from just having potentially cancer-causing products because of the way it's digested in the body to being a carcinogen that you're now ingesting. So now you have all that compounded. In plant products, it generally just kills most of the nutrients. Some of the vitamins remain, but it kills all the antioxidants usually, or most of the enzymes rather, and kills quite a bit of the vitamins in the food too. And some of it, it kills specific nutrients like vitamin K and things totally out of the food. So basically you are killing your food and in some cases making your food even more toxic, which is why you don't want to use it at all. You know, use it to, you know, clean your sponges. That's about all I use the microwave for, as it will kill the bacteria in your kitchen sponges and things like that. But it's not meant for food at all. It shouldn't be used. You know, take some time. I always say, you know, get a toaster oven, heat it on low, take some time, do some squats and stretches while you're waiting for your food to heat up, do something productive. Because, you know, we've gotten used to that 2 minutes and the food is hot. But now we need to wait, you know, 10 minutes and we'll survive, actually longer. So that's why you don't want to use the microwave. It's really bad for food.
And people oftentimes even put baby bottles with formula in the microwave to heat the baby's milk up. You don't want to do that, right? I mean, you're just starting the baby off down a path of death and disease.
Right. The thing with the, there's a couple of reasons why you don't want to put the bottle in it. Most commonly they say because it microwave heats unevenly. So you'll have hot spots and cold spots. So you might hold the bottle after you take it out and it feels warm, but there might be a hot spot right in the middle that burns the baby. So number one, it heats unevenly. So you could potentially have hot and cold spots, which is not good for a baby. And then secondly, it definitely kills vitamin K in mother's milk. Two, so you definitely don't want to put a baby's bottle in the microwave. And especially, even worse, if you're heating in plastic in the microwave, you're adding toxins on top of toxins because all of those phthalates and things from the plastic seeps right into the food. So, you know, at first I thought, okay, I'll just use glass. And then when I really did the research for the microwave, it, you know, I just stopped using it altogether.
Everybody, my special guest has been and is Dr. Ruby Lathan. I told you at the beginning of the show, for those who did not know who Dr. Ruby Lathan was, you're not going to forget her, are you? I know you're not going to forget her. Well, she's a regular on the show. She comes on once a month, and I invite you to scroll down the archives. She's, we've done all kinds of shows. I mean, shows on different types of cancer. I mean, diabetes, erectile dysfunction, obesity, childhood obesity. I mean, you name it, we've talked about it. So I invite you to scroll down the archives and see what other shows that you can listen to from her and grow from just by, you know, sitting at her feet for a while and listening to the expertise that she has in this field of holistic health. Dr. Lathan, you've got an event coming up. You're doing a cooking class, aren't you?
I am. People have been asking me when I was going to do another cooking class, and I realized I looked at my calendar. It has been a while. I've been busy traveling all over. So I am doing a cooking class on March 18th. In the D.C., Maryland area, in Beltsville. I have a lot of supporters in Maryland, so I decided to go outside of D.C. this time, just a few miles, and at the Salad Master offices there in Beltsville, Maryland, and folks can go on my website to get the details. It's March 18th, 3 o'clock, and it's a hands-on class, so, you know, just bring yourself and we'll have all the supplies there. So you get to kind of make your own stuff, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We have a big kitchen there where people can see and practice on their own. So, and that's 3 o'clock on the 18th, which is a Sunday. And then in April, we're going to be having a Just for Men cooking class coming up as well, because people have been asking about that. I did that one before. And it's just a more simplified class for the guys, so they'll feel comfortable and unintimidated. And the last one we did was a lot of fun and had a great group of a large group of guys that came out and did it and really got some great skills. I had a lot of wives send their husbands and things like that. So that's coming in April. And I'm not sure on the date, but that one will be posted. I don't have the date in front of me, but check out the 18th because that's for everybody. And then they can go to my events page and see what other events I have coming up, a few conferences where I'm going to be speaking, and an online summit I'm participating in that starts on Monday. So you go to my website and you can have to register for that and get a lot of good information, a total wellness mastery summit online that I think will be beneficial for a lot of people.
You know, I guess the brothers feel pretty proud of themselves after they actually learn how to, after they learn how to cook, and they're cooking good, and to be able to, you know, cook for their mates even, and maybe even cooking for the family. I mean, what kind of reactions are you getting from the brothers when they're in the class? Do you feel that pride that I can imagine that brothers are
absolutely
feeling?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I had one guy who's pretty young, and what I loved about the last classes I've had the full age spectrum. There was one guy there who was like barely 21, and there was a guy there who was almost 90, and they're both learning how to cook, which I thought was great. So, no, they felt really proud, especially the guy. This was the 20-year-old. This was his first time cooking, period. And so he felt really excited and really proud that he actually made a dish in the class.
Wow.
And they were really excited that it wasn't as hard as they thought. I was like, this cooking does not have to be complicated. You know, I showed some good shortcuts they can make, and they were extremely happy. It was definitely a good class. And so I said, it's definitely time to do that again because it went so well that time. It's time to do another one.
So after they do the cooking, they get to taste the food. I mean, they get to taste
themselves
prepared. Oh,
absolutely. Everybody eats, yes. Yes, we all sampled the food, absolutely. So, yes, everybody gets a good sample. You won't leave hungry. I mean, it's not a full meal. It is a sample, but it's a good-sized sample. So everybody tastes it and loves it. And, I haven't had very many people not like something we made in the class at all.
Oh, wow. You know, well, we got to tell them about the Veggie Chest before you go. Dr. Lathan is the creator of the Veggie Chest, where she actually teaches people online, I guess, through YouTube, right? I mean, people can actually go to YouTube and punch in the
right.
Veggie Chest.
Right. It's on YouTube. Absolutely. You can subscribe to the channel, or you can go to my webpage and see it as well. But, yeah, absolutely. It walks you through it. You can definitely get some tips right there online and how to make healthy food. You know, most of my dishes are centered around being cancer-fighting type of foods and healthy foods because that's what I like to eat and try to come up with new things that are going to be healthy and taste good at the same time. So it's not just vegan. I want to emphasize that not all vegan food is healthy. So, but, you know, so, because there's a lot of people who are just doing replacements, you know, we were just taking the meat out. And that's still, you're still better off doing that than still eating meat. But if you really want to fight cancer, you really want a whole food plant-based diet. If you really want to optimize your health, you want that whole food diet, meaning you're eating real food, close to natural as possible, very few boxed things, and really keeping the focus on fresh stuff, and that's what's going to, you know, keep you healthy.
Well, Dr. Layton, I know that there are people out there that are going to want to get in contact with you. How can they reach you if there are people out there hearing you? They want to schedule a consultation maybe with you, or maybe have you come out and speak at a, you know, maybe do a workshop or a lecture. How can people reach you?
People can reach me at my website at rubylathon.com. That's RubyLathon.com. And you can schedule appointments there, fill out speaking invitations there on the website, or you can email me at info@rubylathon.com, info@RubyLathon.
You know, Dr. Layton, I know we've only got 5 minutes left, so I'm just going to preface the caller. Caller, we've got 5 minutes left in the show, so caller has a question for you. Can you take it?
Yes.
Two, three, four, one. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
You're on the air with
Dr. Layton. Mm-hmm. I'm good.
My name is Barnell Banks. I'm calling because I didn't hear you speak or talk anything about kidney failure. Is there anything you can do for someone who has kidney failure who's on dialysis?
There is. And, you know, kidney failure can be one of those things caused that myeloma actually causes, too. So, you know, another thing we want to help take care of. But it's more difficult once you're on dialysis because a lot of the healthy foods that you're supposed to eat are you can't eat many of because of the dialysis, the buildup of phosphorus and things like that. However, you can greatly improve your condition. In some cases, you know, I've worked with a doctor who's helped people get off of dialysis, so that is possible. You know, you're going to still need to eat more a low dose of those greens and things like that. I know vitamin K can be a problem and things like that, but you're going to want to include low doses of that and not go on the kidney diet where they tell you to eat refined grains and things like that. That's just going to make it worse. So it's a diet that you really do need to work with someone on to balance it out. I mean, there are things you can eat like brown rice and other things that can keep those levels in check. But you do want to stay off of meat if you have kidney failure, because meat is very hard on the kidneys and it stresses them even more. So that's something you're going to want to leave out of your diet and still go toward a plant-based diet. I'd suggest you probably get some help with that, though, because it's a little more complicated when you're, you know, on dialysis. So it is possible. If you're in the D.C. area, because I've worked with Dr. Watkins, who's helped people with that. I've helped with some kidney diets as well. So you may want to schedule a call with me, but Theodore Watkins is also one to talk to on that case to get some help with that. But it is possible.
And
there's
Dr.
never
Watkins.
No hope.
I was going to say, Dr. Watkins will be on the show this Sunday from 8 to 9 p.m., so I encourage the listener to call back. Then we got another call, unfortunately, Doctor, unless with your permission, it's up to you.
I can take it, yeah.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. At 0161, you're on the air with Dr. Layton. Thank you for your patience.
Well, thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Alan Dorsey, Jr., and I was invited to listen to you tonight. And I just want to thank you for your information around vitamin supplementation, even the meat. I mean, there's obviously different arguments out there on meat, whether it's grass-fed, if it's better for you or not. But I totally understand the position that you position. I'm a cancer survivor 5 years. I was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, went through that whole process of chemotherapy where it killed all the germs and all that. But I just wanted to just thank you for your talk tonight, and then also just ask you there was a recent study. You talked about environmental toxins, and I don't know if you know about this, but there was a recent study, a 20-year study that was just released that's now linked lung cancer to the use of common household products. Have you heard about it?
I'm familiar with that link. I'm not familiar with the recent study, though. I'd be happy to take a look. I always like to keep up to date I often recommend, like I was telling someone today, there's levels to this healthy living, and it's one step at a time, but I don't use the typical household products in my cleaning as you would get at the traditional store, because they are toxic. The air fresheners usually are very toxic, coat the lungs, can cause cancer. The ammonias and all those type of things, bleaches, all of those things are very toxic. So I am not surprised. I'm glad the study's out there, but I am aware of that and often recommend people to use essential oils instead of air fresheners and to use natural cleaners, using like grapefruit seed extract and other things to disinfect things as opposed to those harsh chemicals that are toxic.
Yeah, well, just got a launch. We just got now send this information over to the host, and if you want
okay,
to check it
sure.
out.
Okay, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was put out by the American Thoracic Society, and it was conducted in the European community. As you know, the rules and regulations in the European nation in Japan are their laws are a lot more stricter for manufacturers producing products in those countries, and so they tend to be ahead of the curve sometimes when it comes to minimizing exposure to the community
right.
and society at large. So, but that was it. I just wanted to thank you for your talk. And are you familiar with the work of Dr. Mark Hyman?
I am. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you know. If you can check him out, you can Google. He just released another book that literally talks about this very thing in terms of food that you just talked about tonight. So, but so that was it. I want to thank you and thank you for allowing me to be a part of this evening.
Sure, and thank you. Thank you for the comments. And, yeah, I think those are good things to point out, especially when you're in recovery. And I say when you're in recovery, but it's really if you're trying to prevent and just live healthy, you want to definitely stay away from toxic cleaning products and all of that, especially, though, if you're in recovery. So it's all about going extremely natural in your body products, your toothpaste, your lotions, all of that. And we've probably talked about that on some other shows, too, about those different things. So those are good comments. And I know I mentioned a couple of supplements. I'd also mention vitamin D. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do when you're dealing with cancers and myeloma, but vitamin D is extremely important if you're going to keep your immune system working healthy. So a vitamin D3 supplement is one of those that's highly recommended, among others. I think I mentioned the B-complex, the curcumin and other things like that, but the B vitamins and vitamin D are really important too.
Dr. Layson, this has been a powerful show. A lot of information was shared. A lot of great information was shared. I want to thank all of the callers. I would like to thank all of the listeners for taking time out to tune in and listen today. Dr. Layson, before you, any final remarks for our listeners before you go?
I would just say, the body is capable of healing itself if we give it what it needs. And we need to invest in that, find out what that is, and go forward with lots of vigor and don't half do it and go all the way, and, we can live our best life.
Dr. Layton, I want to thank you so much for your time. I truly appreciate it. Dr. Layton is a regular. We got to let her go. I know we want to hold her, but we got to let her go, y'all. But everybody else, stick around. I got some announcements to make. Dr. Layton, thank you so much for your time. I truly appreciate it. Awesome, awesome show. I'll be in touch. Looking forward to the next one.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Take care. Peace and blessings. Everybody, that is Dr. Ruby Layton. Wow. You learned a lot today, didn't you? I know I did. Every time we have an opportunity to speak with Dr. Layton, we definitely learn a lot. She's a regular on the show. Again, she comes on once a month, and every time she comes on, she gets a rousing response. The phone lines are jammed. I mean, the word went out, and everybody responded. Thank you so much. Let me give you a few announcements before you go, though. This Saturday, there's going to be two very powerful events, and they're both going to be in Washington, D.C. First, let me tell you about, the spring equinox is coming up, everybody. And so on Saturday, March the 10th, from 5 to 6:30 p.m. at the Osirisset Society in Washington, D.C. That's at 6224 3rd Street Northwest. There is going to be a workshop preparing for the spring equinox. Again, that's going to be on Saturday, this Saturday coming up, March the 10th, starting at 5 p.m. until 6:30 p.m. at 6224 3rd Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., and the zip code there is 20011, in case you need to MapQuest it. It's absolutely free. You don't want to miss it. If you'd like more information, please call 202-630-2507. Again, that's 202-630-2507. Also, on the same day, okay, there's going to be another powerful workshop. It's going to be the Divine Kingship of Asante, a model for sustainable development of self and community. That's going to be the moderator or the presenter of that is going to be Dr. Orwa Hehimetarain Comet, and he's going to be speaking, and that's going to be on Saturday, March the 10th as well. That's going to be from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., just afternoon, and that's going to be at the Thurgood Good Marshall Center at 1816 12th Street in Northwest Washington, D.C. Again, that's 1816 12th Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. That's the Thurgood Good Marshall Center. And if you'd like to register online, you can do that at www.appeal, that's APPEAL, Inc., that's INC, .org. That's www.appealinc.org. And for more information, please call 202-630-2507 or 1-800-711-7851. Again, those numbers again are 202-630-2507 or 800-711-7851. Now, this event is free to all first-time workshop attendees, okay? You can get in free, no charge to you whatsoever. And it's also free to members of Appeal, all right? For everybody else, it's only $10, all right? And I stress only in all caps. Again, I always say you can find $10 in the cushions of your couch and change, right? That's how affordable it is. So make sure you're there. That is the Divine Kingship of Asante, a model for sustainable development of self and community. That's this Saturday, March the 10th, from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Thurgood Good Marshall Center at 1816 12th Street Northwest. Again, you can register online at www.appealinc.org. Now, I want to take a moment and just thank everybody for taking an opportunity to tune in. Also, to invite you to follow the show. You can actually follow the show on Blog Talk Radio, and every time I do a show, you'll be notified of the guest, the date, the time, and the topic, okay? So if you liked what you heard today and you'd like to hear more of not only Dr. Lathan, but you mentioned Dr. Ted Watkins, who's going to be my guest on this Sunday morning from 8 to 9, as well as other guests like Dr. Raul Nefa Amen, Dr. Orwa Hehimetarain Comet, Queen Afua, I mean, so many others, Brother Louis Gossett Jr., I mean, just so many other fabulous, Brother Coy Dunstan, for all of you entrepreneurs, we've got Professor Joseph Geiger, who does a show. And so I just want to thank everybody and just to invite you to follow the show, and you'll be notified every time I have a special guest, and you'll be notified again of the date, the time, the guest, and the topic. So to all of the people who tuned in because you got the word on the show was going to be about can multiple myeloma be treated naturally, I hope that you got what you came for. I hope that you were satisfied. I hope that the information that was shared gave you hope that, you know, you don't have to live with it. You don't have to control it. You can actually reverse it. But I need to say that, as with anything, there are no guarantees. We're not selling a pill. We're giving information. And Dr. Lathan shared her testimony. And as a result of her doing certain things, she was able to reverse her cancer, for it to go from being present to now not being present. But everybody's different. There were certain things that she had to let go of. There were certain lifestyle changes that she had to make. And it worked for her because she did what she needed to do for her body to respond. In order to get rid of any condition, any such condition such as cancer or whether it's arthritis or whether it's diabetes or whatever, there are going to have to be changes that are going to have to be made. You may need to let go of some food that you like. You may have to stop using the microwave. You know, you may have to start exercising. There may be a lot of things that you need to do that initially might make you feel uncomfortable because you're not used to doing it. Your palate is going to have to get used to new tastes, and you will get used to new tastes, okay? Dr. Lathan, again, hosts a show called The Veggie Chest, where she actually teaches people how to prepare vegetarian and vegan dishes and how to juice, because a lot of times you could hear a show like this and be like, wow, that's a lot, man. I don't know if I can do that. Sometimes you might need somebody to take you by the hand and say, okay, now that we've talked about what to do, let me show you how to do it, okay? Now, listening to a show like this was the first step. Now, take some time. Think about what you heard. You can listen to the show again. Again, after approximately 30 minutes after the show is over, it will be archived. And you can go back and you can listen to it again and again and again. And as with all of the other shows that I do, you can actually share the links with other people that you know. If you know somebody, for example, that's dealing with a condition and they weren't on this call, you can actually share the link with them, okay? And I invite you to do that. I don't have a problem with that. Please do that, okay? So, again, for everybody, there's hope. There is hope. You don't have to live with it. You can increase the quality of your life, but there are going to be some things that you have to change, okay? Now, this is not a blame game. We don't often know why certain things happen, okay? And there are no guarantees in life. Look, I'm a vegan, but I got hit by a car, okay? Me being a vegan didn't stop the car from ramming into my knee and jacking it up, right? Okay, but sure enough, did being a vegan help the recovery time? Okay, doctor said I would never walk again if I didn't have surgery. What didn't said I would never walk right again if I didn't have the surgery. And I was already on the holistic health path, so I was like, well, you know what? Now, Jawanza, you're really going to see if this stuff works. Now you are in a position where you have to either rely on the same information that you give everybody else. You do these shows on holistic health. Now your knee is tore up. You got a torn meniscus. You've got a torn ACL and a torn MCL. And you're telling everybody, and you're touting the benefits of holistic health. Now, Jawanza, what are you going to do? It's your turn. The doctor's saying you're not going to walk right again if you don't have surgery. And he's saying that he's leaving the practice in 3 weeks, and you better hurry up and schedule with his secretary before he's gone. And I'm scared. Okay, really, for real. I'm like, shoot, man. The doctor's telling me I'm not going to walk right again. And then I said, you know what? I have heard this information far, far too long and for so many years. And the people that I know that I have bring this information, I trust them. But this doctor who's telling me that I need surgery, I don't know him. I don't know him, okay? But the people that I bring on the show, I know them, and I trust them. And I trusted the people that advised me, that said, you know what, Jawanza, do this. You don't need to have surgery. Do this. Eat this. Juice this, which I did. Now, walking right, running right. You know, I started getting like Kunta Kinte. Remember in the movie, Ruthie said, I'm not going to walk. I'm going to run. You know, that's how I felt, and that's what I did. So I encourage you. Your testimony can be the same as Dr. Lathan's, okay? It can be, but the question, will it be, that depends on you. That's why this show is created, for people just like you. Because when you are on a holistic health path, sometimes it's hard to find people even just to talk to about this stuff, right? You know, that's why this show was created, so that you have a place where you can come and you can hear guest after guest after guest talk about the thing that interests you, and that is holistic health. I mean, when you run into somebody else that's on the same path, and they're talking the same language that you're talking, doesn't that feel good? Didn't it feel good listening to Dr. Lathan talk tonight? I know I felt good. I was like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, so if that's what you're talking about, then, again, tune in this Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. My special guest is going to be Dr. Ted Watkins. We're going to be talking about how to treat and reverse Alzheimer's. How to treat and reverse Alzheimer's. There are a lot of people out there that may be dealing with somebody in their family, a mother, a father, a relative, friend, somebody that's gotten older now, and the doctors have diagnosed them as having Alzheimer's. Oh, man, that's not a pretty sight. When you're dealing with somebody with Alzheimer's, that's not a pretty sight at all. Seeing somebody that you know and love deteriorate right before you, lose their memory right before you, sometimes not even recognize you anymore, you know. Well, if that's you or somebody that you know, make sure that they tune in this Sunday morning, okay, the 11th, March the 11th, from 8 to 9 a.m. My special guest is going to be Dr. Ted Watkins. He's an awesome, awesome brother. Graduated from Howard College of Medicine in 1977 and is a regular on the show. He was initially a surgeon, but God called him out of that and said, you want to heal people? I'll help you how to teach them. I'll help you teach them how not to get sick in the first place, okay? So make sure you tune in this Sunday from 8 to 9. My special guest is going to be Dr. Ted Watkins. Everybody, again, thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate you. My name is Juwan. So who am I? I'm the one who in giving receives more. Who are you? Peace.